Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. I hope everybody's doing well on this Veterans Day. I want to take a special time out to thank every veteran out there who listens to my show, and thank you for your service. And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So I just want to make sure that I say thank you. And thank you, Dave, because I know you are also a veteran.
Many years ago.
Well, it's much appreciated. And I want to say happy birthday to my mom. So today we are in the midst of the season of re-upping our insurance. And the commercials are running fast and furious on TV about signing up for whatever plan they're trying to sell us. It's supposed to be awesome, but isn't. And I ran across an article last night about the Affordable Care Act and how 71% of the new members of new enrollees of insurance under the Affordable Care Act era, 71% of them are in Medicaid, which I really wasn't surprised at. But it actually now opens up my eyes further to how bad this thing is and what a scam it was from the get-go, and how they've sold it as a bill of goods, and it's never, ever going to be what they said it was. Apparently, these co-ops, I guess 12 of them now have closed, of the 21 or whatever, almost half of them are gone, and they were a waste of time from the get-go, set up to fail. Apparently, I didn't pay much attention to them, but they were sold, people were sold policies that were they were underpriced. So it's like a Roach Motel almost. You know, they get you in with some sort of lure. Then when they get you in there, they pull the rug. So people were finding that their out-of-pocket costs were too expensive. They didn't have a panel of physicians. And basically they were carrying insurance, maybe even if it were subsidized, that didn't do anything. So big surprise. A lot of them are not happy. Some of them have left. Consequently, the number of enrollees this year are not expected to rise much above what it was last year. 9.1 million, I think, was the figure last year. And I think maybe it might go up maybe 9.2, 9.3 million this year. It's not the 20 million that the CBO says you need for this thing to run. So it is a death spiral. I would venture to say. But it's going to be a death spiral that's going to be a long time coming, because it's going to be propped up by rhetoric, by money from Congress, because I'm sure they're going to keep funding it. And the left, you know, the so-called progressives, who are their ego and everything else is tied to this legislation. But the funny part is the people who were running it, the board of governors for these co-ops, I'm sure the same folks who wanted this in the first place. Just goes to show you, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't have doctors in the mix, you're not going to have a successful product. If they bothered to ask us, practicing doctors, what it would take to run, you know, a health market, an insurance-based market, we would have been able to tell you. So good intentions, perhaps, or maybe it's totalitarianism. I don't know which argument you want to take. But there's a lot of people who think they know what's best for everybody and are running the show. And I think an extension of that is what happened yesterday. I don't know if I'm sure you've heard, Dave, about the University of Missouri and Yale and all of this politically correct. It's politically correctness on steroids at this point. Now there's supposed to be a nationwide, I don't know if it's a walkout, a march, or some sort of demonstration in colleges across the country. I don't know. Is it me? But you're in college. You've already beaten about 90% of the people in the country, white or black, to be in a higher education. You're still complaining? This is what gets me totally. The MSNBC crowd, too. They're making six-figure salaries. They're still victims. You have a platform, and you are part of the 1%. You know, you really are. Most people don't go to college. Most people don't have access to higher education. You are in there. Why don't you take all of the benefits that you are afforded and use them instead of this? I'm done. But you know what? The college presidents who resigned are just as guilty. What they did is just open a floodgate to nonsense. It was bad before, but it's going to be double, triple what it is now. Because you don't want Halloween on campus. This is the Yale thing. This is just horrendous. Someone was going to be, might be offended by a Halloween costume. So they wanted to ban Halloween, private Halloween parties on campus. Are you kidding? So that, I think one of the professors wrote an email saying, you know, I appreciate what you said, but this is a First Amendment issue, freedom to associate. You know, people have rights. I can't just tell them they can't have a party. And then the husband of the professor who wrote the email gets screeched down on campus. There's an audio of this which just made my hair stand on end. This woman is screaming at this professor because he didn't agree with her. Because you don't agree with somebody in college now, you should be removed. You're not committing an act crime. You're not putting your hands on anybody. You're not committing a violent act physically. You have a thought crime now. This is crazy. But as these kids do this in college, they're going to come out at some point and become part of our society. Legislators, police, whatever they're going to become, they have this attitude that only they can be right. You cannot dissent. You need to be removed. Basically, you need to die is what they really want to say. That's the next thing coming. But where do we stop this? All the people who don't believe this need to stand up, get in their face and say enough. Because if we don't do that, they're going to continue. Nothing's ever going to be enough. I can just foresee how this could roll out. Right, there's 10% of black people in University of Missouri. That's the percentage of black people in the country. That's actually pretty good, right? They're going to want to have white people removed, have it be a completely black university. I can just see how this rolls out. It would just become hyperbole laden, just it'll feed on itself. And it's going to be completely uncontrolled. It's like a mob mentality. I don't care if it's black, white, green. It's the same mentality of this progressive movement. They're not even a majority of the country, but they're so loud and obnoxious and shout everybody down. Everybody's got manners and they decide, well, I don't want to engage because I don't want to, you know, hurt someone's feelings. I don't want to get yelled at. This is what they're doing. They're bullying people and then calling themselves victims. It's amazing.
You know, Dr. George, what I saw in this, the little bit I watched of it yesterday, is, and this goes back to not the generation after mine, I don't know what it's called, X generation or whatever it is. I grew up and I raised a family, and my boys knew what a spanking was. And as I watched those demonstrators yesterday, the little bit that I watched, it goes back to their parents. They had this mentality, let's sit down and reason together. Well, I'm sorry, but a two-year-old, a three-year-old doesn't understand that. One little whack on the butt, they understand. And they understand they've done. These people yesterday should have been put across somebody's knee and spanked. You know, we don't have discipline. We don't have order. And what they were doing, you know, it comes back to Sharia law. It comes back to everything that's going. If you don't like it, get the hell out. If you don't, they should be on their knees. I don't care what color they are. They should be on their knees thanking God that they have the opportunity to go to college. They shouldn't be marching. They shouldn't be yelling. They shouldn't be screaming about, like you said, being poor victims. They should be thankful they have the opportunities that they have. I didn't mean to.
No, please. I absolutely agree. I went to college. I understand the mindset. When you don't have a job, now that I'm on the other side of this, I actually have to make a living and pay payroll and be an adult. It's a luxury to sit in college and have your parents help you out and, you know, sit around the table and talk nonsense. I mean, that's what growing up's about. You have to get to that point. But to do this in such a manner that is not only disruptive, it defeats your purpose. It's the same mentality of the Black Lives Movement. It's not a movement. It's a Soros-run PSYOP. And these people are paid operatives, and they come in and they destroy stuff. And the media is in bed with this because they're not exposing this. This is not a majority of Black people. I would venture to say, at least for me and the people that I know, we don't subscribe to this. Most Black people are like looking at this and going, what the? But we're not saying anything. But, you know, even if we were to say something, we would not have a media platform to say something. You're not going to get a normal person on TV. You're going to get some knucklehead who's screaming and yelling and, you know, perpetuating the meme of Black people being stupid, violent. They want to just destroy white people. We want a race war. That's what they want to foment. They want that. And the fact that the media is so, they've got their finger on the scale with this. You and I both know there's been black on white crime. There's been people getting punched in the face. There's been that has not been publicized on TV to the same degree as what's gone on in Ferguson, what's gone on in Baltimore. That's show it all. So people know that there's two sides to this thing. The police are shooting people. There's a white man who was executed at a traffic stop. He was on his belly and he got shot in the back. The cop got off. Where are Black Lives Matter when that happens? It would empower your movement if you really thought that all life, it happens to everybody. And as a matter of fact, more white people get shot and killed by police than Black people. The problem is the police versus us. That's the real question and the problem. And by making it just one group, trying to ferment, you know, just hatred amongst each other, it's for an agenda. We need to stop falling into the trap. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today's a little bit more of a political show. I don't think you can actually at this point separate medicine from politics. It's become intertwined. And emotionally, psychologically, there's an article about how when you get to 30, you're less happy than the people who are under 30. It's because you start living life and you start realizing there's so many forces and pressures that don't have your best interest at heart, that tell you they want to take care of you, that they want you to, you know, be productive and have a quality life. But everything that's working in this system seems to be taking that away from us. Seniors are under siege. They're paying more for their Medicare now. They're actually on the hook for having their livelihood. I mean, their sense of self taken away from them if they have money submitted electronically. They can't have a gun in some instances. That's what they're trying to do to seniors. You're automatically demented or something if you have money transfer. Well, they encouraged seniors to do that. They didn't ask for it. They pushed people into getting the electronic transfers. I remember when my dad got his. It was a convenience, but he could have easily kept getting checks. It was encouraged. Now it's going to be used against you. What else is going to be used against you? So let's go back to this college issue. And this mass mind control is what it is. Everybody is being indoctrinated by emotion to, like a Pavlov response, to think, they expect us, I should say, to think and act a certain way. This is crazy now. I mean, I watched a show last night, 2 seconds on E, where they had some sort of glamour, I guess it was a show that was supposed to empower women and glorify women. Who do you think was up there getting glorified? It was Caitlyn Jenner. It's for women, isn't it? This is what you do? This is insanity. I think, look, I don't have a problem with people who really have sexual identity crisis, whatever. I don't. This is an agenda, though. And it's not just, it's a normal variant. These are people who believe this. It's bad to be a woman. You should apologize for being a woman. You can't even say pregnant woman anymore because that's offensive to people who are transsexual. This is the issue. It's making There is no individuality. There is no choice. If you really believe that, you know, we're all put on this earth, we're all made in God's image, I don't have a problem with that. But you're not more equal than I am. You're not better than I am. And even if you are a member of a group that's historically been discriminated against, who's been marginalized, it doesn't make you better to do it to the other side when you finally get a voice. That demeans you, right? So I'm not better than you. I'm not, what I do for a living is not better than someone who does, I'm a doctor, someone who's a lawyer, someone who's an engineer, electrician. I'm not better than they are. I just have a different skill set than they do. We all should be able to coexist and really mean it, not just say it. They do a lot of rhetoric, a lot of neurolinguistics, where they tell you one thing, but the action is different. Now you should apologize for being in a heterosexual relationship. You should apologize for being a pregnant woman. You're wrong if you're a black person and you don't believe that I want to be a victim. There is no war on women. You know, all these things are just acronyms.
How did you like the last one, that you can't be called a juvenile delinquent?
No, I didn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah, the president came out.
Why?
The other two or three days ago, that no longer can you use the term juvenile delinquent.
Why?
It's a young person that's something not cross the law, but something, a young person that's been involved with the law. But you can't. He's doing away with the term juvenile delinquent.
He just decides this. This is what neurolinguistic programming is. It's language that they twist to use against you. My favorite now is saying that somebody works hard, is a hard worker, or works hard is racist because it's against black people and slavery. I'm like, someone should just laugh in someone's face when they say things like this. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to apologize because I have two or three jobs and I want to do the best for my family. I'm being a racist because I want to take care of my own business. I suppose somebody who wants to pay for their own health care, pay for their own way, is a racist. I suppose that's what they're going to say next. Call me that then. I don't care what you call me. I know who I am. And if everybody would stand up and start saying that, white, black, green, white men are under attack at this point. You should just leave the country. That's what these guys want you to do. They asked this guy in University of Missouri to drop, to get rid of him because he wouldn't admit, or something about white privilege or some nonsense that they wanted him to admit to. What is that? You can't have white privilege when you're sitting in a university in a 1% in higher education. You can't say, how do you use that as an argument when you're in the pot with everybody else? That doesn't make sense. Now, if you choose to waste your parents' money, that's on you. In the break, I believe this whole thing would have started when the football team said, we're going to go on strike. I would have pulled their scholarships. It's a contract. You are not fulfilling your end of the contract, therefore, bye. That's what I would have done. Trust and believe it would have stopped in 1 second.
You know, and we have proof of it. Look at what Reagan did with the air traffic
airline controllers. Yeah.
You're going to strike, you're out. We'll replace you.
And for something that's kind of questionable, you know, they're saying that at some point somebody kind of saw a swastika, or somebody got their feelings hurt because someone said something racially motivated. Apparently, you can say juvenile delinquent. That's racially. You can say I'm a hard worker and you just committed a thought crime. Are you mean, really?
But you can say, you can tell a lie, hands up, don't shoot,
and
you're a hero. It's upside down and backwards.
It's totally topsy-turvy. But when we don't, when you let it go, it just gets bolder, which should have been stopped a long time ago. And good people didn't do anything. Or worse yet, they started to feel bad about themselves. So now I'm hearing stories of white college students saying that they feel white guilt. What do you feel guilt about? They've bought into this. So it's a double whammy. You've got people who feel totally victimized, people who buy into the fact that somehow they victimized somebody, everybody is special. This goes back to, remember I said a few years back, what are these kids going to be like when they're all in parties, everybody gets a present, everybody gets a trophy if they play a sport. What are these kids really going to be like? I think we have our answer. This is what they're like. You can never be wrong. If you don't make the grade, it's somebody else's fault. Someone's against you. It's racist. It's sexist. How about you're not good enough for change? Work harder.
I hate to use the word lazy. But
well, yeah.
Most of them, if they get in college, they're capable.
Well, they started off in high school getting a push.
Yeah.
I mean, this is now you reaped what you sow. Let's talk about athletes for a hot second. How many of them in high school were pegged to go into college and be, a superstar, got pushed along in high school, didn't really take any, the grades don't really matter. You've got your tutors doing your work for you. It gets perpetuated in college where you take these softball classes and you can't even read by the time you leave school. And if you don't make the pros, where do you end up? You are just grist for the mill. Why doesn't anybody ever see that? It's all wrapped in a bow of multi-million-dollar contracts, lots of women hanging on you, club this, that. It's just awesome. But that's only about half a percent who actually get there. The rest of the people just get used and thrown out. They don't finish college. They can't get the job. They do have student loans they have to pay. And they're wasting time with a Soros group who could care less whether you make it or not. They don't care. Black lives don't matter to the people who are telling you that you should say that. They could care less about you. You are a means to their end, which is to foment division in our country, divide and conquer, while they do all sorts of things to us, like the TPP, like CISA, like all these things that are happening while we're wasting time demonstrating on campus, maybe not even finishing the school because we're so caught up in identity politics. It's brilliant. It's Alinsky on steroids. They did a great job. I'm going to give them credit for being patient and laying the foundation of this mindset. And now you have Ayers coming out and gloating. He's amazing. How he got into the position of a professor, I would love to know. But that just goes to show.
As a criminal.
Exactly. This guy has a platform when he's killed people and glorified in it and said he would do it again. Nothing's changed. This is a takeover from the inside. There's so many things happening in our country that it's just a blackout on. I'm going to give you something I heard yesterday will blow your mind. And you should go online and probably look this up. I know you heard of charter schools, correct?
Sure.
Well, I thought, they're privately run. They're really awesome. I would probably want my child in one of those as opposed to public school. But that's not exactly what's going on. Did you know that the largest charter school is run by an imam from Turkey? And it's a Muslim-based project. He's been getting millions of dollars from the country, the government, to run these schools. He doesn't really hire American teachers. They farm them in, the H-1, 2, whatever you call those visas. They're coming from Turkey into the United States to educate these children. And they're using the umbrella of science, math, technology type of education. While underneath, who knows what's going on? Are they really madrasas? Who knows? We're paying for this subgroup of people to be indoctrinated. So what you need to pay attention as parents is to what's going on in school, because your child is being turned against you on so many levels. You don't even know what's going on. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month
and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, one way that you have that makes a country is that you have to have a set of values and a set of morals, mores. You just have to have it, otherwise you don't have a country. Yes, we have a history of immigrants coming in. My dad was one. I don't have a problem with that. But when you have immigrants coming in so haphazardly in such numbers, you don't even know where they're ending up. Even if you have the mindset of, I want to make sure that as I am my brother's keeper, I want to make sure that I take care of somebody, how can you possibly take care of thousands of children who end up with no, with families, people that are have not been vetted? You don't know if they're part of a sex trade now. You don't know if they've been incorporated into a gang, but you just want the numbers. You just want to have them come into the country, and you're racist, sexist if you have a question. I have a problem with that. Don't you really care about these people? Don't you want them to come in an orderly fashion? If they have a medical issue, that they get quarantined and treated, not thrown to the wolves where they're sick and God knows what happens and who else they can infect. There is no attention to detail. It's just, I want to win at all costs. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. And for us who have common sense, who actually like the rule of law, to not say anything, to not get in our congressperson's face and say, you're gone if you don't stop this, then it's on us. We've allowed this because we've been bullied. We've been, you know, you have this PTSD mentality. If I say anything, I'm just going to get more punishment. So I'll just not say anything. If you don't say anything now, you're going to be paying for it in the future. The stuff that's going on in Europe, we have... The mainstream media is not giving the whole story. There's no reason at this point to listen to anything that you hear on the news without going and double-checking it online. Nobody should do that. Take anybody's word on the news. They're all... It's Hollywood, you know, with a little bit of more serious veneer on it. But that's what it is. Germany, Sweden, all of those countries that have had this influx of migrants coming in... 70% of them are men, young men, not families. They show that on TV to make it all look good, and they show a small little child to get your heartstrings pulled. But the flip side is most of them are young, military age, not with families, and ready for action. And there's been an assault on women in all of these countries. Sweden has like 1 in 4 women have been raped in their country. That is ridiculous. Women have been abducted from these in Germany, where they have close, you know, relations or proximity to these migrant camps. They're telling girls not to wear dresses, not to wear skirts. They have to watch themselves because these people can't control themselves. They don't go to jail either. They might catch these guys. They may serve a year or two in jail, maybe, and they're out in the street again. This is what's coming to the United States. Let's face it. Let's not be PC about it. I have, you know, empathy unbound for people. I'm a doctor, but I'm also a realist. And we should, if you don't vet people, if you don't know their background, ISIS already said we're going to do this. Why would you not take their word for it? I would. And they're really smart. And they're using our humanity, our political correctness, against us in every Western country. They want a caliphate. Iraq, Iran, Syria is just the tip of the iceberg. What they really want is to take over the West. And they're doing it, and we're helping them. So every time your school tells your child you can't have a Christmas pageant, you can't say Merry Christmas, they win. And until unless we stand up, it doesn't make you anti-Muslim. I'm pro-Christian. I'm not anti-Muslim. Do what you want to do. Have your Ramadan. We're not stepping in the way of that. But if I want to say Merry Christmas, then if it offends you, then so be it. First of all, it shouldn't offend you. If I'm not offended by Ramadan, why would you be offended by me saying Merry Christmas? It's also one, it's all one-sided. They always do this. This is exactly what I'm talking about the political correctness and neuro-linguistic programming. For me to say I'm a hard worker should not equate with I'm pro-slavery, you know, or I'm against black people. Or if I say, you know, the lady, is a pregnant woman in my office, it doesn't mean that I'm against transsexuals, that because they can't have children, somehow it's not right, it's not fair. Come on. If you really do respect yourself, honor yourself. How can I possibly disrespect you when you have a good sense of self? Then you obviously don't. Or it's an agenda to remove one aspect of our society and promote another. I don't subscribe to promotion of anybody's, you know, personal preferences. That's why they're personal. In your home, leave them there. But when we're all in, you know, a society where we have to work and live and interact with each other, it has to be one of respect. And my opinion is just as important as yours, as long as I'm not putting my hands on you, affecting you in a way that is physically restraining, then so be it. What's the First Amendment mean? First of all, they're trying to change that. But all you need to do really is look at England, look at France. Whatever happened there is happening here. It's a global situation. This is what they mean by globalism. We have to lower our standard in every aspect of our society to fit in with the world. It's just kind of interesting since most people want to come to our country because we are different, because there is an opportunity or are opportunities, and because you can actually be free. That's all being stripped away while we're listening to these people who are mouthpieces for globalism, which is shut up, pay your taxes, live in a dark cave, eat food that's going to basically kill you, get shot up with vaccines as much as we can make, you need to take. Take as many medicines as we can possibly throw down your throat. And when you get sick, and if you're a senior, get some morphine and take a powder. That's what they want. Just pay. Just work for us. I don't subscribe to that. And if people would wake up, stop being victims, everybody's a victim all of a sudden, take your power back, stop being led by the nose by somebody who can give a damn about you, and start thinking about, it's about the family, honestly, it's about the individual. If you love yourself, you would not allow yourself to be treated in any of these manners. You wouldn't be on drugs. You wouldn't allow your family to be separated. You wouldn't let your child go to a school where they're being shouted down or treated inferiorly. You wouldn't do it. But because you're part of a group and you have a mindset, a group think, then your group by definition is either a victim or the person perpetrating the victimology, or, you know, there's something that you have to go along and be belong to a tribe. It doesn't serve the individual, and it certainly doesn't serve society, because it's the lowest common denominator. And when they have us all fighting against each other, it allows us to be led much more easily without giving up, without putting up a fight. No one's paying attention to TPP or the fact that in the internet now that you basically are going to get internet sites shut down based on what they write, what they say. You know, the NSA can look at everything about you. They can, I'll say Google can follow your movements on your internet, on your emails. They're going to start answering your emails automatically. Does anybody have a problem with this? I mean, do you really need the generation of X, Y, Z? It's only going to help them track you better or know more about you. Or take your biometrics with a fingerprint or an eye scan. It's not cool to have Google Glass. So it just means you're part of their Borg, you know? What's wrong with being an individual all of a sudden? That's my question.
You know, I think we talked a little bit about it, and you know, the situation of the cop in the school in South Carolina, and where I fault him, he's been fired, and you know, all of this, and I guess they're doing. Where I fault him is that he didn't call for backup and have somebody else with him. But beyond that, you look at this, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. The teacher had asked the girl to put up her cell phone. She wouldn't put up her cell phone. The teacher went to the next step, is bringing in the assistant principal or whoever the next person is that you call.
Mm-hmm.
The girl wouldn't cooperate with them. Then that person called for the cop. And at what point, and I don't mean to bring up a sore subject, but at what point, and maybe the cop mishandled it, and maybe he was too forceful, but at what point does the family and the girl have to take some responsibility, and she wasn't minding? Mm-hmm. You know, I know what would have happened to me when I was in school.
Me too. It wouldn't have gotten to that point. Period.
I know what happened to me when I got caught chewing gum. And my butt still can remember it very well, you know. So like you said, we've let it get so far out of control, this PC garbage.
Well, it's no respect. But you know, it comes down, it's on both ends. When I was in school, the teachers that I respected the most and really wanted to do well were the toughest teachers. They were the most disciplinarian. They were, you know, they ran an orderly class.
You know, kids going to try you.
Of course they will.
You know?
But they need boundaries. But they're not getting it from parents, where you get a timeout, where, you know, everybody gets a present, everybody's special. There's nothing wrong. It's not my child. That's the other thing that goes on. The teachers also are at fault, too, because some of them are bringing their policies and their politics into the classroom. That also ferments this, I'm entitled because I'm, you know, they're bringing this victim mentality. But it's disrespectful. Every child, I don't care what color they are, they're, you know, clay that needs to be molded. You don't know what a child's gifts are. You surely shouldn't assume, because they come from a working class or a poor neighborhood, that they don't have skills, that they don't have, you know, a sense of self. If you already put into their minds that, well, you're coming from this bad neighborhood, poor you, poor, you know, poor pet, you know, you're not going to make it, I have to do extra things. You've already indoctrinated them to feel some sort of way. So stop that. I never felt that. I mean, I came from a working class neighborhood, two parent families, thank God. All my friends had two parent families. Both parents worked. We didn't take anything for granted. Our parents sacrificed for us, but I never felt this entitlement of I can do whatever. I felt compelled to work. And every time I went to school, every single teacher I had along the way, there was only one that gave me an issue. My parents took care of that real quick. Parent-teacher meeting, awesome. But that's what you need, a parent to actually go up in there and say, wait a minute, if my child is going to be in this school, I want to make sure she's going to be able to go to the best schools when she comes out. I'm watching you. That's the mentality that my parents had. And it worked. Granted, I wasn't an outlier, and I worked hard, but I knew that I had some backup. I knew the teachers knew that my parents were not going to take any mess, and that no matter what color I was, if I'm in that school, I'm going to have the same outcome as every other child in my class in terms of my future. If parents don't feel that way, you know, what you put out is what you get back. That is the personal responsibility that people need to understand. If you give off vibes of, I'm going to be a disruptor, well, you know, you're going to be ignored, or you're going to have what happened to you that happened to that child. Thank goodness she wasn't hurt. I don't like the violent aspect of it, but she could have just put away her cell phone. Why'd she even have the cell phone in the first place? So again, race aside, parents, children, teachers, everybody needs to really sit at the table and decide that they all want the same thing. And it has nothing to do with color. We have too much issue now, but we didn't have in the past 10 or 15 years. Everything's racial. Everything's sexist. Everything is an excuse for why either you're not performing, or you want to get a better job than you, or better whatever, because you should be given a leg up because you're special. Isn't that the whole purpose of our country? Quality of character, not color of skin. We've somehow gotten away from that. And I guess we'll explore more when we take a break. We're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, I said something to Dave I'm going to repeat. I think it's a skill to be able to divorce yourself from emotion, because this whole system that we're living in right now is driven by emotion. And there's a blind will to try to drive people to work against their own interest, to deny the good that's in their life, to just see negative. And when that's all you can see, you just get closed off. There's nothing positive about you anymore. You just start, it's like a bad cycle, like a domino effect. We're certainly not in any, if everybody would take a step back, well, this is not the 60s, it's not the 50s, it's not, you know, back in colonial times and you know, where we're all, where there's slaves, where there's masters. That does not exist anymore. It's gone. It's been legislated away, both from a legislative perspective and also socially. Why are we reliving the past when you're like trying to recreate it almost? That's what it seems like. So we have a group of, not even a group, we have a consortium of powers that be that see us as pawns to be manipulated, to be driven in a way to make their ends appear, to justify their ends. We are the means to justify their ends. They want doctors, for example, to be so beaten down, so made into automatons that all they do is just write a prescription. They don't think anymore. They just look at a computer, see the algorithm, and just click and point and send the prescription to the pharmacy. If it doesn't get the patient better, then the next step is make them comfortable. And they're educating. Someone just said something to me which really kind of irritated me. There's a new program in, I think it's Rush Medical School, where they have doctors and nurses and any ancillary medical professional trained together as a group. There's something wrong about that intrinsically, because we don't all train the same way. We don't all look at medicine the same way, and that's the beauty of it. Everybody's specialized to do a certain part of the healthcare delivery. If we're all one group, if we all are even in terms of what we are perceived to, and that sounds bad, but contribute to patient care, then what you get is what they want. You want a consortium of healthcare providers where the doctor just signs off on what the mid-level providers do. They're not necessarily all trained to do what they're asked to do. I mean, I had nurses who I've known for years who were in the ICU who were asked to act as ICU attendings. They didn't want to do that. They weren't trained to do that. They didn't feel comfortable, and they left. This is what they're trying to make people just mind control them into thinking that, you know, a doctor and nurse should have the same goals, the same position in healthcare delivery. But we don't. Nurses have an extremely important part in the patient care side of it. Doctors have an important part in driving what is this considered to be what patient care should be. That's a teamwork. This is not a team in the classic sense. It's everybody's equal, everybody's the same. The level of the playing field has been dropped so that you just point click, don't think, let an evidence-based panel decide what care is, where you don't think for yourself, you don't say that the patient, well, that's a different patient, I think there's another problem with this patient, let me try a different, that's going to be gone. You are educating people away from individual patient care, away from thinking outside the box, away from being of practicing the art of medicine. And by definition, you are going to have a really crappy system. They won't be able to go back and learn these things. You have to be taught these things. So in the next generation, you have a few of these doctors coming online to become the professors. you're gone. The medical profession's gone. They're just waiting us out until those of us who practice Hippocratic Oath are retired or out of the profession. And they're going to have a bunch of, maybe forget doctors, you're going to have robots running this. The Watson computer already runs healthcare delivery for the VA. They do algorithms on our veterans, and they decide whether or not they're going to get care or they're going to get warehoused. And they're not. There's no value. You're not an individual. There's no empathy. It's by committee, and it's by perceived outcome. But a human being is not a computer, so you cannot say, I expect them to have this result if I give them this medication. You can't say that. My father wouldn't have lived another year had they said that. My mother wouldn't have lived another 7 years and died of something completely different had they not said that. This is what you want? Do you really want your doctor to look at you as a disease, as a cost center, as someone who should get out of their office because their ACO payment will be less at the end of the year if they take care of you? Do you really want that? You know, I mean, we have to make some decisions quickly. Because the community, the Congress, the way this is running, we're having remote government at this point. We have, you know, the executive branch legislating, signing treaties, doing whatever they want to do there. The Congress is making money, getting lobby money, and screwing us over and telling us that they have our back. When are we going to stand up and say, none of you are working for us anymore? Supreme Court down. I don't know. They're working for the UN. There's no question in my mind now that most of these decisions that have come down that have worked against the United States and Americans in general, they serve a higher end, which is the UN. Just imagine, Dave, when they start these carbon tax, you know, taxes. They want a global business tax next. They want an internet tax next. You're going to be paying the UN and the government. What are you going to, you're just going to be working just to pay somebody. When do you have fun?
You know, as you've been talking, I've been thinking about, you know, you know the old saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what's happened. Our administration and Congress, they have tried to break everything. Medicine, economics, EPA, you name it. Mm-hmm. And they have broken it. And what is every candidate, both sides of the aisle, saying? I'm the one that should be elected because I'm going to fix it.
To be aware of them fixing it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I agree. You're absolutely right. Healthcare was the last piece of this puzzle. It took a while to break it. It's doing a bang-up job at this point of screwing it over. But it's the same principle. It's all too big to fail. The banks did it with the bailout. The insurance companies, now there's five, soon to be three, they're doing it. They're going to get a bailout at some point because all these people who can't pay the Affordable Care Act premiums and co-insurances, then they're going to start whining to the government, we're not making any money. And they actually already are getting paid. The government makes them whole for any plan or any premium that the person can't pay. That's what a subsidy is. So they're getting money on both ends. Then we're going to have the hospitals start whining, because they're going to start getting a decrease in their Medicare reimbursement. It's already happening. So they're going to start really, they're going to start getting more freebies from the government. And it's always the same argument. We're huge. We can't maintain our business practices. We need help from the government. And as soon as it happens, they get, it's fascism. You've got public-private partnerships. It's fascism. Great name. It's all neurolinguistics to make it sound really cool. The government's running it. The government, they are administrators of what the government wants to be done. That's what Medicare is. It doesn't work. Medicare's bankrupt. Social Security is bankrupt. I've said it before. I think this whole immigration ploy is a way to get people in to try to pay taxes so that they can prop them up. Maybe. I don't know, but they're kids, so how are they going to pay any taxes, you know? So, I mean, nobody's really entering the workforce, but those that are, there's more immigrants working than there are American citizens at this point. You know, the new jobs that go to them doesn't go to American citizens. I am all for immigrants, but you have to take care of your own first, right? Otherwise, you have chaos. But that's what they want, order out of chaos. But I say we don't give it to them, that we start making conscious decisions, that we start thinking about ourselves as individuals. And if it doesn't work for you as an individual or your family, I say you shouldn't subscribe to it, and you should find another way around it. Because if you just keep following the same path, it leads to the government becoming the parent for the child, making decisions for you and your business, making the healthcare decisions for you. They're living your life for you. You're just going along and doing their bidding. Do you really want to live in a situation like that? For those of us who are awake, we need to really talk to our friends, talk to your family, make some positive choices in your life, take your power back, and, you know, love yourself. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. Please read my book, Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System. It's on Kindle, Amazon. You can go to drelenageorge.com and buy it directly there. Have a great week.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.